The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, February 25th, 2018, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Romans 4, 13 through 25. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest in grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, for he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations. According to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No, distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, it was reckoned to him, were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us to believe him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Now hold your finger there in Romans 4 and go with me to Genesis chapter 12. The reality is, if I don't go to Genesis chapter 12, Romans chapter 4 makes no sense. So go with me to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through part of verse 4, we would say 4a. I'll give you a minute to get there. As you're getting there, Paul is talking about the covenant that God makes with Abraham. It's the call of God upon Abraham that we'll see here in Genesis 12. And while you're getting there, you're going to notice that it's not Abraham in Genesis 12. It's Abram. And it's not Sarah. It's Sarai. They become Abraham and Sarah much later in the journey. But in this first encounter, this first calling of Abram, and it's the same person, we get that. But we got to get this kind of in our mind as we go back to look at five things from Romans 4. Now, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curses you I will curse, and in you all. You should underline that word right there, all. The families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. Abram begins this journey, and I'll probably just switch over and call him Abraham. Abraham begins this journey at about 75 years old. If you go on and read verse 5, you'll see that he's about 75. Sarah's about 70 years old too. They're here at this community. They're established, got some resources, I would think, and no children. I would guess that many of Abraham and Sarah's dreams had been long given up on. I would say they were settled in and comfortable. Paul goes as far as to say his body was almost dead, you know, as good as dead. But here is Abraham, and Abraham is not a perfect person. You need to know Abraham's a liar and a cheat. Read the rest of the story. I mean, he tells them Sarah's not his wife, that she's his sister. I mean, he does things, you know. And I guess it says it continues that Lot goes with him. So I guess Lot thought, I should go with this old man so he don't wander around. You know, he's stupid. He's making a mistake here. Somebody needs to go with him, take care of him. But can you only imagine if you told your family, well, you know, I'm 75, 80 years old. God's called me to go out and start a whole new thing. And God told me he's going to give me a promised land. That's promise one. Number two, he says, and I will make you have a lot of children. Yeah. 75 years old. How many of you are over 60? How many of you who are over 60 have kids? How many of you over 60 would like to have a baby? I'm just looking to see if anybody's raising their hand. Not that. Can you imagine? You know, later on, Sarah will actually laugh at God about it. She says, and you wait until I'm this old to give me a child? And she laughs. Why did Abraham go then? Nothing that God had told him was humanly possible. He couldn't have had any thought that this could be something that really could come about. I bet Abraham and Sarah both knew of people in their same situation. I bet they knew. But they go. We find no hesitancy in Abraham's going as God had called him. Go with me now back to Romans chapter 4. Just keep Abraham in your mind. For the promise that would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Five things I'm going to touch on in the message this morning is faith, belief, hope, grace, and love. Belief, faith, grace, hope, love. We'll mix them up a little. Notice that what he says is, it's not the law. It isn't the Sinai law given to Moses. Notice there's no Ten Commandments here. Notice this is Genesis chapter 12, not Exodus. Notice that this encounter and call of Abraham happens about 1,000 years, somewhere along that, before you get to Sinai and the law. As a matter of fact, there won't be a law for the life of Abraham. There won't be a law for the life of Isaac, and there won't be a law for the life of Joseph. The law comes after the slavery and bondage in Egypt for 450 years. The law comes in the desert of Sinai on the mountainside. So this isn't about legalism, is it? And that's Paul's point. It isn't the law that offers salvation. Salvation hasn't changed. Salvation is still about grace. Grace. How many of you know the definition of grace in our Christian context? Anybody memorize it from a Bible study or someplace? My Sunday school class, and those who watched on Facebook should have this. What is the definition of grace? You want it? You need it. Whether you want it or not, you need it. The definition of grace is this: God's unmerited favor upon you and us. God's unmerited, we didn't deserve it, favor upon you and us. That's grace. God's unmerited favor upon you and us. Getting what you don't deserve and not getting what you do deserve. That's God's grace. So now we get over here, and Paul is making this argument that Abraham believed by faith, and it was accounted to him unto righteousness. Folks, there are some things that go hand in hand in the Christian church and in the life of the Christian, and those five things I've already spoke of, they all go hand in hand. It's a package deal. It comes together. The first of those is, which one? Faith or belief? Which one comes first? It's like the chicken and the egg. You know, scientists have decided the chicken had to come first because the eggshell had to be made out of the protein that could only be produced by the chicken. I could have told them a long time ago God made the chicken first because he made all the living things and then they reproduced. So I knew I didn't even need a degree in scientistology or whatever you want to call it. I've got a theological degree, so I know about this book. This one's pretty good. Faith and belief can't be separated. Faith and belief are hand in hand. They're not the same, but they are. You see, when Abraham heard God call, he had to believe that it was God speaking. He had to believe that God made a promise. He had to believe that God was entering into a relationship with him. Notice that what it says, Abraham, I will, I will, I will. God says, I will. He never says, Abraham, you don't have to do anything except go. Did you notice that? All you have to do is go. In other words, Abraham, all you have to do, I'm going to do this for you, is believe that I will. And have faith that I can. Did you get the difference? Believing that he will and faith that he can. They're two different things. Believing and knowing. Believing is this. It's the objective. It's the subjective. It's the, you know, even the demons believe, but they don't know Jesus is Savior. And the same thing is true for us today as Christians. It begins with belief and faith. We believe in Christ and we believe in faith unto salvation, that God can do what he said he would do. And we have a choice to follow. When we follow, we receive grace. That's what Abraham received. Did you see it happen? You need to read the rest of the story of Abraham, I guess. Abraham did become the father of many nations. Abraham and Sarah did have children, had a child. And those children had children, and they became a great nation of people. God's promises were fulfilled, but Abraham was believing in something he couldn't see. Abraham was believing in something he couldn't touch. Abraham was believing that God had spoke to him. And he believed in faith. And in believing in faith, he receives grace, God's unmerited favor. Abraham will not deserve, to be honest, but he receives. He receives. Abraham isn't perfect. Abraham kind of reminds me of myself a little bit, except for the lying thing, but I'm not perfect. Are you? Do you know anyone that's perfect? I didn't say if you knew anyone that thought they were perfect. That's a different question. Maybe I should ask you, do you know some people that think they're perfect? Pray for them. Hard. So you have this believing of Abraham, this in faith that God can do what he wants, says he'll do, and then the grace that he receives, the God's unmerited favor along that journey, and that produces the fourth thing that you need to see. You've got belief and faith bringing in the grace. We sang about God's grace, marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace greater than all our sin. See the theme to the music? Connects. So you've got now this fourth element that is unique to every Christian who believes in faith, receiving grace, unique to us. It isn't found in any other place in the world today other than in the life of a true Christian. True hope. True hope. What do you mean by that? Abraham's body was as good as dead, Paul said. But Abraham still had hope, didn't he? By faith and belief and through grace, against all odds, against all human things, against all human opposition, against all human limitations, he had hope. Folks, we as Christians have a hope that springs eternally in God, not based on the things of the world around us. We have a hope that is in a big G God, not a little G idol. Your hope shouldn't be in the resources of your pocketbook, your checkbook, savings account, or in another government piece of legislation. Your hope should be in an eternal God who is able to do what he says he'll do. We're going to underline something in a minute, so get your book back open to Romans 4. So now we've got this idea of hope. Paul says that in all things we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Folks, it doesn't matter how dark it gets, there's hope and light for the Christian. I want to teach you about the three D's real quick. The first one's name is the devil. We know him, Satan. We got a lot of names for him. The deceiver. The devil works in the same way that he always has. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. He works the same way all he has. But the devil works in the three D's. First, he's the devil. You have to say he's there. You have to say he's present. You have to say he's real. You have to know that. If you don't acknowledge that you have an enemy, you will certainly be defeated by that which you have denied. The second thing is, he always begins with doubt. The devil always begins with doubt. How does he do that? Sometimes he twists the very word of God just a little bit. Let's go back to Adam and Eve. Let's go back to Genesis. When the devil deceives Eve, what does he do it with? The very word of God. Only thing is, the devil tweaked it just a little. He added one word. God had told him, in the day that you eat of the fruit thereof, you shall surely die. And the devil said to Eve, God knows that in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely not die. One word. One word introduced doubt that allowed the third D to take place, deception. Be careful, Christian friends, brothers and sisters, when doubt shows up. Doubt in your relationship with God. Doubt in your relationship of his love and grace in your life. Doubt in your worthiness, because we're not worthy. We have to accept that God's grace, that marvelous grace, that unmerited favor that God has given to us, we accept it. Watch out for doubt and deception, which leads to sin, which is the disobeying of God's word. And then he's got you, so he can put you back in the loop. But always remember this, even if you fall for the deception, even if you enter into the doubt, God's grace is still there. Even if you lie to the ruler of a foreign country and tell him that's your sister, God didn't give up on you. God's grace, marvelous, infinite, matchless grace. It's there. But hope is the fourth thing that we get. The fourth thing that we get. That leads to the fifth and final piece of the life that we have as Christians. And for that one, you're going to have to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. It's called the love chapter. How many of you have spent some time in this? I hope all of you have. Because there's two pieces you're going to need. We're going to look at verses 4 through 7, 8a, and then we're going to look at 13:13 to show you and introduce you to the final one, which is love. But in this love that Paul exemplifies, and he said, let me show you a more excellent way as he closes out chapter 12. And then he says, if I have and do all this stuff, I'm doing it for the wrong reason. Then he shows us God's love. Look what he shows us. Love is patient. How many of us could say that our love is always patient? Not me. So he's talking about God. How about God's love? Is it always patient? You bet it is. Look at this next one. Love is kind. How about God's love? Is it always kind? It's always merciful, isn't it? Then look at love is not envious or boastful or arrogant. Nowhere in the Bible will you find God boasting about his own love, but you'll find people boasting about God's love. You'll never hear God say, don't forget I loved you. But you will hear people from the psalmist David all the way down say God's love and praising God and thanking God. No, but you won't hear God say that. It isn't arrogant. It isn't pride. It doesn't rude. Man, do we need some rude classes today? No, we don't need rude classes. We need some unrude classes, some derude, some respect class. Man, I'm going to tell you what. I go to Walmart, and by the time I get out of there, my blood pressure is hitting 190 over 300. If I was a kid and talked to my mom and dad like I see going on in there, folks, I wouldn't be here today. One of my daddy's phrases was, remember, I brought you in this world, I can take you out. Do you want to eat with them teeth or look at them? Those are, anybody else have one of them experiences? They wasn't afraid to bloody it with the back of his hand and you learned. I don't think it scarred me too bad. I do respect people, so I mean, maybe love me enough to teach me something. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing. You got to know this. God ain't happy when we do the wrong thing. He still loves us. He forgives us. He gives us strength. But folks, wrong is wrong, and it doesn't change. But rejoices in the truth. He bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Look at what it says in 4a. Love never ends. Love survives the grave, church. How many of you have lost somebody you loved? Anybody? Did that love die? Oh, no. All it takes is a smell or a song or a sight or just a little flicker that comes across your mind and it comes back, don't it? Love, it doesn't end. Why? Because love comes from God. God is love. God's eternal. God never dies. Love never dies. Let's look at 13:13. And now faith, hope, and love abide. Do you see that? It's a package. It's a package. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Number 5 on the list is love. So we get there by faith and through belief. We arrive to receive grace and hope and live in love. And Jesus gave us commandment number 11, right? That you love one another even as I have loved you. Underline verse 21. I would tell you to write this out, put it on an index card, and stick it on the mirror in your bathroom or the refrigerator, wherever you spend the most time. Men, probably the refrigerator would be a good place. How many of us men go to the refrigerator and look in it and don't ever get anything out? We just want to be sure it's still there, don't we? Even worse is when you go to look for something and there's nothing in there you want and it's full. You open the cabinets. Anybody else do that besides me? And you just close them, get your drink of water, and go on. Nothing's there. It's the way it is. Verse 21, I want you to underline this. Being fully convinced, not partially, not sort of, without doubt, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him unto righteousness. Believing that God can and will do what God says he will do. Belief and faith. We find grace filled with hope. And I contend that until we have those four and receive the fifth one, which is love, we don't really know love at all. For God that we receive is love. So it's about love. May we know God's love in our hearts. May we share God's love in the world around us. And no matter where you get in life, don't listen to the doubts and the deceptions of the devil, but find the hope that is in Christ Jesus. A hope not in the limits of the world, but in the limitlessness of God. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed for just a minute. As we come to close our time together today, let us know that belief and faith are hand in hand, shoulder in shoulder, inseparable. They bring about grace that we receive and find hope coming with it. Not in humanity's hope, not in the world's hope, or the hope of weakness, but the hope of an eternal God. We find all of these things in God's love for us. Not because we're perfect or deserving, but because he loves us. Father, may we truly know your love, your grace, your hope. Strengthen our belief and faith that we truly would fully know, fully trust that you can and will and are able to do all things that you have promised. Father, remind us that indeed you did give Abraham and Sarah a son. And Isaac grew, and the story continued. Father, Abraham didn't get to see all of the promise, but he did get to see you at work. Father, for us, we believe in that which we cannot see. We trust by faith and live in hope. Strengthen us every day in our journey along the way. And let us praise you and love one another as Christians to be like Christ. Hear our hearts and prayers lifted before you today. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Now may God's grace and peace go with you, a peace that surpasses all understanding. May belief and faith bring about that transition of grace that brings hope and lets us know God's love. May you go in that peace and grace which surpasses all understanding. May you go to share in God's love that knows no limits. Now go in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.